Colorful.
Sinai.
Colorful.
And Patrick.
Colorful Radio.
Welcome to the Voices of Windrush with me, Sinai Flary, and my co-host, Mr. Patrick Vernon. On today's show, we will be discussing how we can preserve the Windrush generation legacy through education and learning.
Colorful.
Sinai. Colorful. And Patrick.
Colorful Radio.
Joining us in the studio is Yvonne Davis, who is the head teacher of Oakview Primary School in Hertfordshire. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I want to ask you first, how did you feel when the Windrush scandal first unfolded?
When all that media came out, I felt quite emotional. It was unbelievable. I was absolutely transfixed on every media report and on the television. And it just took me back and thought, well, it could have been my mother and father, any of our families. And I just felt the suffering that people have gone through and going through still.
From an educational point of view, I mean, what do you think needs to be done to preserve the Windrush legacy for future generations to come?
Well, it's good that we have a Windrush Day. And I think that all schools should celebrate that. They should have some time within school where children can debate, talk about. It's an event in history which should not be ignored. When we think of World War II, you can't just think of the British during World War II. You have to think of those from the Caribbean, the flight lieutenants, how they work together, and also what happens. So when we talk about chronology and times of events, you cannot ignore what blacks have done to build this country up. So schools need to have that in the curriculum, and Windrush Day should be celebrated in every school.
Okay. Now, we had our first National Windrush Day, as it was this year. Mm-hmm. How did your school celebrate Windrush Day?
Well, we looked prior to Windrush Day at lots of theme headings. So one year group did the Commonwealth, one looked at the journey itself and the feelings, and one group looked at immigration and explored that as a debate, looked at the impact and the work of the role of black people in Britain, and also where are they now. They interviewed and linked with the Watford African-Caribbean Association, so we invited people to come in. And we celebrated it on the day with all the activities that they'd planned for, the research and the interpretation of past events, and displayed that work across the school and invited Lord and Lady Salisbury, who in Hertfordshire, we invited several other members of the community. Patrick Vernon came along, and also the Watford African Caribbean Association members. They also, we wanted to get out there in the community. So not just within the school, we wanted also parents to be aware.
Yeah.
We're a diverse school, it's a diverse community we live in. And we had a lot of parents. Most of the parents came. So we put food on, we put some music on, but they saw real learning that was happening in the class. And the children were highly motivated about it and actually could speak about it. Feeling quite passionate, we invited the BBC to come in. We invited the local press.
Nice.
But no. But we were in the paper afterwards. The local press actually took all our photos and did a big spread in the paper. The BBC came in and they filmed our play. And our children did that play so well. And I felt they got that across, how people felt entering on that day and what happened. And they also interviewed the children afterwards. I mean, that wasn't on the television, but I was really quite proud of them, how they talked about how it might have felt and how it was good to know about this and why was this kept away from them.
Right.
And they even talked about racism, and I thought their answers were absolutely... It's quite interesting how children perceive and take in that information and process that. And is that what we need for the future? So the children can campaign, so they can value their own culture and other cultures.
Yeah. I mean, what has been the feedback from your celebrations of Windrush Day at your school, from the students, but also parents as well?
Absolutely excellent, some of the parents. And I think, I didn't think it did at the time, but one year group looked at my own parents. I brought in, you know, their passports and pictures and that. And I think that kind of, for the parents, said, well, I didn't know. And even a member of staff texted me and said, I really didn't know about it well enough. What really happened by talking through your own experience, your parents' own experience, it brought it even more alive. And it helped a dialogue so that parents were talking about it. And it was one of the children whose parents are Polish, who said, oh, I'm going to tell my mum and dad that they were on there as well. You know, so everybody was taking it in. And out in the community now, I still see people who talk about it, who've not got anything to do with our school. But I think that's what being on television and in the newspaper with such a big spread that we did have. It's in their minds. It brought fact to them. It opened up a dialogue about that journey. And there was a lot of information on our boards that people asked, not only the children, but asked me about. How many, what happened to them now, what are the government doing, it's outrageous. You know, so we've got that dialogue that we wanted also.
Yeah, that's fantastic that you started those important conversations just from doing Windrush celebrations in your school. I'm going to bring in Patrick.
Yeah, Yvonne, it's really an honour and privilege to attend your primary school. And what three things that really hit me about your school: you're in the middle of Hertfordshire, and St Albans, and your school is a predominantly, in terms of the pupils, predominantly white, lots of white. There are some Asian and black children, but there's lots of white pupils there. Mm-hmm. And the very fact that you did the Windrush stuff, because I had the opportunity, went to all the classrooms from year threes upwards, and then when you had the play, and what was and to me, this is the essence of Windrush Day, educating the young people so they can look at issues of the migration journey, the Caribbean contribution, but more importantly, looking, so they can start thinking of issues of race and discrimination and make and normalise that, basically. And so that was really powerful, because I can remember the scene in the play where they had a no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. And all the young, there were lots of these white kids were really passionate, saying, no black, you know, in a way that we're going to fight this with you guys, you know, historically. And that was really, really, that was really, really powerful. And I think, you know, I think you're the first, one of the very first black head teachers in Hertfordshire. And I think black leadership, what you're doing, you amplify why we need to have black head teachers. Because you know, by influencing your team, your teaching staff, and then engaging with the pupils and their parents, then they understand why it's important. So I'm just have to say respect to you big time.
Thank you. No, and I do think that bit about no white, no blacks, no dogs. We did that door, and it was stood in the hall until the play. And I had staff say, "Oh my goodness me." You know, so it brings it back, doesn't it? Instead of hiding it, first of all, really shocked and said, yeah, but that's what happened, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why are we hiding it? It happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's those events which need to be kept alive, but it influences our thoughts for the future and what we want to do. And our children need to be thinking about the future.
I suppose one of the questions is about the whole stuff around the national curriculum. Do you think the national curriculum, because Windrush is not really that explicit, what more needs to be done to make sure that the Windrush narrative and the migration narrative is really properly embedded in the curriculum, not just simply in history, but maybe in other subject matters?
I think, you know, it isn't explicit, and it has just come up in terms of through the media, and perhaps that's something that needs to be looked at, because the national curriculum, we've got our specific areas, the Stone Age, the Greeks, Egyptians, and you can find ways through that. And there's a little mention about Rosa Parks and Mary Seacole, full stop, or you could do West Africa, Benin. But we have got that day now. And so that's where it should be. It's an important day, because from there, that allows you to explore not only in history, the geography, because we did the Commonwealth, what was the Commonwealth, yeah. We all did the flags and that. You can explore your citizenship, the collaboration you want to talk about, how did they feel, the immigration policies.
Yeah.
And so you can bring it in from every angle. So even if you don't cover other things around Black history, like the Great Hundred of Black Britons, you will cover massive amount just by looking at Windrush Day if you want to. And you can weave that into your curriculum. There is no problem in that. You can weave it into your literacy and your geography and everything else.
Yeah.
So schools should be able to find that time.
Yeah.
And the confidence and the self-esteem it will give to some of the pupils that they can give or talk about it. Mm. And some of our parents who had been quieter and more ethnic minorities came in and said, oh, I can come and do some cooking because the younger ones were doing that. I've heard that music sometime, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but then again, you probably can interpret the curriculum because of your experience as a head teacher and a Black head teacher, but maybe some schools need to have that guidance and maybe a kick.
Yes, you do. I know you do need that set down as part of the national curriculum, and you would have to have some sort of guidance to help them, some sort of structure so that they can work from that, but also put their own creativity.
Yeah.
Now, Ofsted's new framework's changing for September when they're inspecting, and certainly their inspection. They're having a creative focus on the curriculum, a greater focus on the foundation subjects, particularly for primary. And it's about your design and structure and the intent of your curriculum. So it does give people a time now just to think about what does your, how is your curriculum driven to make a difference and still get the same outcomes? And if you are designing it and structuring it, how would you design it using the present national curriculum? But if that could be put in terms of Windrush Day, that everybody has to, then they can design their curriculum with that in mind. I feel that shouldn't be shouldn't be anything wrong for schools to do that. It's easy to do.
Okay, that's great. And how do you ensure that all schools up and down the country do stuff on Windrush Day? What is required to, you know, obviously you've got obviously innovative, creative heads and schools, and some will do it anyway. But actually, how do you ensure that it's actually something almost like similar to the Holocaust Day, where all schools do stuff automatically in January around the whole kind of stuff? What is required to make sure that every school in the land does this?
Well, I think that's through the Department for Education needs to put that within the curriculum.
Yeah.
And also that all that information that was went out when changing immigration policy, and then you realise that so many from the Caribbean have had to stay at home, they've lost their homes and everything else, that's died down. So everything needs to be brought up again.
Yeah.
So in places where I'm in Hertfordshire, maybe London, I always find they've got a little bit more community base in terms of the ethnic minority. But in Hertfordshire, that's going to be a little bit different. So it needs for people such as ourselves to keep pushing that forward. I would always share what I've done. And schools work much more together in terms of groups, more collaborative working, networking together. And then you've got your multi-academies and that, and there should be people in there in the meantime before it becomes fixed in the curriculum, sharing that information, putting that out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
I wanted to ask you, what sort of plans have you got for your school to celebrate Windrush Day in 2020?
Well, we are doing Black Britain, the Great Hundred Black Britons. So staff will look at the ones that they would like to look at, but also they look at their topics, see if they can interweave it so that it just doesn't come out as, well, it's just Black History Month, that kind of thing. And then move on with the next journey of the Windrush Day. So these are people who are working now. These are people who've worked in the past to build up this country. So it could be in art, it could be in all different factors in the government. And it will start next month. and they would continue with that all through the year. And on Windrush Day, we intend then to display all our work and invite the community to do that. And as we go on, we'll invite members of the community and just interview them, Black members of the community who are doing well. There's lots of little organisations. There's lots of people now who are doing well for others in different communities who we'll invite. So that's what we've got planned so far.
Yeah.
And also my school council, we want to look at the anchor. What's okay. happened to the anchor? Mm-hmm. So my school council are 20 children, so we'll be really, really focused on that. And the play that we did last year, I'm really hoping I could work with one of our community groups and take that into the theatre, a small theatre. And that's what we'd like to do. I want to build on what they already, the script that I've already written for that, to make it theatre and invite parents and community to go on.
That sounds great. It sounds so exciting.
It's really fantastic. I mean, just to kind of preface, so you mentioned Under Great Black Britons. I'm planning to relaunch Under Great Black Britons this year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a part of a book I'm working on with a colleague of mine, Dr. Angeline Osborne, something for a future show maybe. Mm-hmm. So really, that it works quite nicely, celebrating 1,000 years of black presence in Britain. Obviously, Windrush is one chapter of the black presence in Windrush as well. And also, the very as you know, linked to the whole stuff around the memorial. We had a special show looking at aspects of memorial.
Yes.
There's plans of having a memorial at Waterloo. So I don't want your views on that. Mm-hmm. There should be a memorial at Waterloo Station. Some people in the community think it should be in Brixton. And, you know, maybe in Hertfordshire, you may have a different perspective on that.
It's one of those things, isn't it? It's where to put it. I mean, I said my initial thoughts would be, why should it be in Brixton?
Yeah.
Could it not
be? Well, what do you think it should be then? And the question is, actually, do you need more than one memorial?
That's it, because some people never come out of there. Outer sort of shires, do they?
Yeah.
And if you do come into London, perhaps some of them only come into central London.
Mm.
Why is it? Because Brixton is known as, well, say for me, a lot more black people. So yes, we're black people, but we were trying to actually, for everyone of different cultures, so maybe a bit more central.
Yeah.
Where people say, well, I'm going to pop on the train from the shires, but I can get there, but I'm not going to go over to Brixton or...
Yeah.
Camden or something. You know?
Yeah. I think the debate's still continuing anyway.
It is a bit of a debate.
Definitely. But you mentioned the anchors, and so I'm working with a number of people to look at the viability, feasibility. Should we get the anchors of the Windrush ship, which is at the bottom of the Mediterranean? It's been there since 1954. Yeah. So when I mentioned to you prior to coming to the show, obviously it's something that you were quite interested in your school.
Tell me what's
interesting in that from a school perspective?
Well, it's just having moved from that, thinking, okay, there's an anchor there. That represents that ship, what's happened. And surely that should be removed so we could put it at a place of interest.
Mm.
And for the future, for people to see. It brings the story together. It brings a story to hold. It allows us to hold on to that.
Mm.
So I think that would be good.
Yeah, well, watch this space. That's, you know, so hopefully we can do more work. We're going to organise a series of consultation events around the country, so maybe we could have one hosted, maybe happy to host one, work one within, and have one in St Albans.
Yeah, that would be lovely.
We've got one of the top divers in the world who actually thinks it's feasible and viable to do this. He thinks it's possible to do that. So, you know, we're going to have a series of meetings and we'll start in Brixton, but we're going to have another parts of London than that, and then we've got hopefully the Midlands and down south, west and north as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the question of is going back to, tell me about your journey as a head teacher, because this is really important, because everyone says there's not many senior black leaders in the educational world. You've been doing it for a number of years. Just share your insight and journey.
Well, I've been teaching since 78, so went to university in Nottingham and trained up there. My first post was in Coventry. There was only two of us. And so I was used also to go to some of the secondary schools, although I was primary. And then I taught in Birmingham for several years. So I taught in Handsworth and that. And then I was became acting head at one of my schools. And then we decided as a family we wouldn't mind moving to the south. So we moved to the south. I was appointed head in Hertfordshire. And found out there was the first black head in Hertfordshire in 2000, which I thought, well, it's taken a long time, isn't it? At the time, I did.
A very long time.
I just thought, I ended up being in the newspaper. Yes. And I suppose I didn't celebrate that thing enough because I thought, well. and so I became head of an infant school. I was in Watford and... not an easy journey.
Yeah.
And then I became a school improvement advisor in Buckinghamshire. So after a few years, went to Buckinghamshire, did 4 years, trained as an Ofsted inspector. Did that until about 2013. And then returned to headship. There's always lots of challenges, I think, even not being ahead when I first started when I was in Coventry, there were, as I say, it was only the two black teachers, and so you were faced with, I suppose, ignorance, not really understanding us. So what had happened when I was doing my teaching practice, you know, I don't know whether you remember Love Thy Neighbour and all that, and oh, that was just a comedy and so on, but I just remember catching the bus, walking into the school, and it was stony silence and just the whole school staring at me. And you kind of got that feeling, oh my goodness, because I was training, I've got to teach these children. But
how did you deal with that?
I think the biggest shock was the teachers.
Yeah.
Because for children, I can make compensation in that really, in a way, because they don't know you. Or your hands, why are they white? What your feet like, and that was in the 70s. And Love Thy Neighbour did not help, whatever anybody
wants
to say.
Well, lots of TV programmes back there didn't really help.
Yeah, we did.
Like, Mind Your Language.
I think...
A lot of people remember that.
When I finished university and finished my training and went into schools, I was my first school was absolutely fine. I was in... it was Stony Stanton. There was a bit of diversity there, and I had received a phone call, will you go over the other side of the city? They appointed a black health visitor. The parents didn't want her, so it's white, working class. I visited and decided I would always take my car there. I wouldn't catch the bus there. It seemed so offensive. And it was just going into the class, and the children were calling me all the names under the sun, and the teacher was there. And I just thought, why would you not stop your children? Why would you not stop your children from calling me those names? So why would you not stop the children from calling me those names? So what I had to do was stop the children myself.
And how did you do that?
I just said... Look, please do not call me names. My name is. I'm sure you're supposed to be getting on with your work. And then I looked at her sternly, absolutely thought, well, actually, I don't think I can speak to you. And then went out. I did go to the local authority, spoke to them at that time and said, this is what happened. This is in one of the schools. This is ridiculous. And you've got a health visitor being faced by that from the teachers as well as the parents. No wonder she finds it difficult to go in. And they said, well, perhaps the teacher didn't know what to do. I said, well, if a teacher came in and they were calling her fat, then surely it's the same in a way. You just stop children. If you don't know what to say to them, then that's different other than stop them. But in one way, all you need to do is say, I'm sorry, be respectful to whoever walks into my classroom. You don't need to talk about your ethnicity or anything like that. So the early days, there was quite a bit of that in certain areas. Then when I moved to Birmingham, slightly different. Tim Brighouse was the Director of Education. And I think as Director of Education, he brought a different dimension. He embraced ethnicity, embraced diversity. And in a way, you got a feel through that through the schools. Birmingham was very, very different. Coming to Hertfordshire, again, I thought I found similar challenges in the school. Not the calling names or anything like that, but they're another white British school. But staff were supportive. So it depends on their own experiences, but it has changed a lot than when I first started out. And the job's difficult for anybody anyway, I think, you know, but it's rewarding.
Yeah.
And you have to give your personality. You do have to embrace your own values and also share those. I shared my experiences with my staff in my early days. I've shared how that, even today, how that might affect our children of colour. And we share out some of the difficulties, even with, we're looking presently at white working class boys and their underachievement, which I said, I was looking at that in the 80s with Tim Brighouse, you know. And why is that? What is it? What's happening with them as well as other children? Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, how did being a child of people from the Windrush generation affect you, both positively and negatively, would you say?
As a child?
Yeah.
I think my parents came in the 50s. Okay. I'm sure it's 55 it was. And
Where did they come from, sorry?
They came from Jamaica.
Okay.
And I think that's another thing that kind of got to me, because I always remember my parents, my mum saying they lived in one room and they had, you know, the heater and everything else, and found it difficult to feed me at times. And feeding at times because the electric would turn off. So it's multiple occupancy. They wanted to warm my bottle. Not financially, it was just about the logistics of it. She was a teacher in Jamaica, and she wanted to train as a nurse, and that's where she found a little backlash, because she wanted to be state registered nurse, not SEN. She did become a state registered nurse, quite a bright woman. But because of those difficulties around living in one room, your landlord who's difficult, and then you move to somewhere else, trying to find jobs, she had ambitions, and I'm glad she had really great ambitions and determined woman. I then had to live with somebody else who, for a few years, who looked after me because it was so difficult. So from the initial room, they then bought their own house, and they did say, you know, it used to be advertised as White Oak Drive, and when they moved in, that advertisement didn't last any longer. So for me personally, it was that gap. But I mean, I saw my parents, but they had to make a decision, because the long term, that's what they wanted, a better life for me, a better life for them. My dad was one of four men in the Midlands who set up the West African Caribbean Association in Wolverhampton. And that was brilliant, because that supported people in many different ways, many different families. And when the naturalisation came out, I remember, because when Windrush came out, I thought, well, I remember my dad always helping people to fill in those forms. Yeah. So some people must have missed the forms somehow. I was thinking, what happened? Because I remember him saying, we've got to get forms now. And I just thought, well, what if he wasn't active himself? Perhaps we would be in the same situation.
Mm.
That's an important point, because I think in the 70s and 80s, there were lots of Caribbean centres and organisations, and they understood the whole immigration process.
Yes.
And there was a drive to get people sorted.
That's right.
This is the interesting thing about 2018, the whole Windrush scandal. There aren't that many organisations. The immigration system is so complicated.
Yes.
And also within the community, we've made the assumption that we're all right, we're sorted.
Mm-hmm.
British, so we're all right. We don't need to worry about it. It's for those migrants over there. But actually, the Windrush scandal reminds you that our situation is still one of vulnerability.
Yes.
And making sure that we sort things out.
Mm-hmm.
So ironically, if the Windrush scandal happened in the 70s, I think we'd have been more organised, there'd be more greater community anger and engagement, as opposed to now where it's just slightly dissipated.
Yes, yeah. Because a lot of those organisations haven't got the funding.
Yeah.
And it's some of those older members, such as my father and others who've kind of passed away. The younger ones are taking some of it on, but they've got their jobs and other things have come in the factor.
Yeah.
I do believe that if sort of that organisation was as vibrant as it was, they may well have picked up on, because it did remind me of, at that time, my dad pushing, okay, and they got together, filling in those forms.
Yeah. I just found out recently a gentleman called William Trant, he was one of the directors of the West Indian Standing Conference that was established in 1970, I think, or 71. And that played a key role, again, in terms of making sure that Caribbean people had their heritage, had the paperwork sorted out on the immigration. So it just felt almost like an end of an era. But I have to... We have a thing in common, me and Yvonne. She's from Wolverhampton, not myself. I have to ask this question. Do you think there's something interesting about people from the Midlands and the North that come to the South, do we have a greater degree of drive, ambition, or do we see the opportunities, or is it because we come from a certain part of Jamaica? Without being too biased.
I think you get to the point where you do have that drive and opportunities, thinking it's bigger, there's different, you read about it.
Mm.
And being in Wolverhampton, a city it may be, but we all know each other, or somebody who knows each other, and the organisations in there to help. But you get to a point with, is this it?
Mm.
So let's challenge myself a bit further and let's see what else is out there. And you still want that kind of campaign element that's within you, and you still want that collaboration. It's not so easy in different parts of the South.
Yes.
Because that's what I totally missed when I came to the South. Mm. Being able to collaborate with others. The organisations weren't there for myself in Hertfordshire. And also that little bit when people a little bit more friendly, I don't know, more approachable. That was kind of missing initially. But yeah, there are opportunities in the South that. Mm. And my sister's recently just moved this year. And she, I think she is already recognising that there's opportunities.
It's interesting, 'cause I know quite a few people now who want to move, who are from the Midlands and North, who are now moving back to the Midlands and North after spending so many years
in
London and the South East.
Yeah.
Either people want to downsize and have a different quality of life, or they have that a yearning to go back to, inverted commas, their roots, their Midlands roots, the Northern roots.
Yeah.
Yvonne Davis, it's been a pleasure having you in the studio today and hearing your story and your journey as a head teacher, and also hearing about how you are implementing the story of the Windrush in your primary school. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be invited.
I look forward to working with you on Windrush Day and 100 Great Black Britons.
Thank you.
Colourful.
Sinai and Patrick.
Colourful Radio.
Joining us in the studio now is Joyce Fraser, who is the chair of Black Heroes Foundation. She's going to be talking to us about a documentary she's working on about the late Sam King, who was a Windrush pioneer. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very honoured to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. Thank you so much for coming in. And before we get started talking about your documentary, I wanted to ask you, how did you feel when the whole Windrush scandal unfolded?
Shocked, but then not really surprised. I'm still angry about it all. And as I hear more and more stories, I get quite emotional. But at least something's been done, but we've still got a long way to go. And I was in the middle of actually doing the research for the film about Sam King. And so actually, if he hadn't set up the Windrush Foundation, all of the support that we're getting now wouldn't actually be in place. So it's made me realise just how important the work of Sam King is.
And can you tell us a little bit about your role at the Black Heroes Foundation?
Yeah, so the Black Heroes Foundation is about celebrating our heroes. Its vision is a world where black heroes are recognised, acknowledged and celebrated. And I'm the founder of the Black Heroes Foundation. I set it up in honour of my late husband, Flip Fraser. And Flip Fraser created the show, the amazing show, Black Heroes in the Hall of Fame, which you may have heard of. It's over 30 years old. And the tagline was, one night of theatre, 5,000 years of black history in one night of theatre. And that show was created 30-odd years ago. It kept the Hackney Empire open when they tried to close it down. It toured the whole of the UK. It went all over the United States. It went to Jamaica. And when Flip passed away in 2014, people said to me, Joyce, you can't let that legacy die. Because of that show, I'm a hairdresser, I'm a nurse, I'm a doctor, I'm an artist. And it's a show that really helped people realise their value and what we've contributed to the world. And as Flip said, we are more than slaves.
Absolutely.
And culture is so important. If you take away a man's culture, then he has nothing. Was it Marcus Garvey said? Mm. If you take away a man's history, it's like taking the roots away from a tree. Mm. And, you know, Flip was very, very... had very strong thoughts about the importance of culture and how it motivated one. And so he'd asked me to help him revive the show, but I wasn't able to. But 2 years after he passed away, I decided to register the charity because of all the calls I got to do something. And he had a Facebook page, which still had 2,000 followers. Mm. And the Facebook page was the Black Heroes Foundation. And going through his stuff, I actually saw all of his notes of what he wanted to do with the Black Heroes Foundation. So I set it up in his honour, really. And as part of that, set it up in his honour. And as part of that, we want to bring back the show, but we've been doing all sorts of other things along that journey. And one of these things was to make the film the story of Sam King. Now, the other thing about making that story, it was a very personal journey for me as well. We want to tell the stories of our heroes. And I'd heard about Sam King. In actual fact, he was my father's cousin. So I actually met Sam King as a child.
Right.
And I just got a bit curious, wanted to know a little bit more about him. And I went and I met his son, Michael King, who immediately put his arms around me and said, hello, cuz. And so for me, it's been a really amazing journey about making contact with my family, as well as finding out about this amazing man and his contribution to the world. And so we decided to make this film. We've made the film. It's a 17-minute documentary, and it tells the story of Sam King, but also it's just so enlightening. And so far, we've taken it to 3 schools in Southwark and shown school children in Southwark. We've also taken it to the Pineapple Club, which is a West Indian elders lunchtime club. We also showed it on Windrush Day at Dulwich Theatre, Dulwich Library, and also Patrick and I went to Luton Town Hall and screened it at Luton Town Hall as part of Windrush Day. And I have to say that Patrick has been a very important part of this journey, and he's actually featured in the film as well. But I just want to say some of the things that school children said about the film, just so you can see how important it is to tell these stories. He's just one of our heroes that people don't know anything about. Outside of Southwark, people don't know about him. And this is what some of the school children's responses were. From the film, I learned you can do anything you put your mind to. Black people are important. I learned that I can be anyone I want to be. To be ambitious, I can do anything if I try. that you can do anything you put your mind to. I learned that you can achieve anything. I have learned that you must be determined. You're able to accomplish anything if you try. That you have to believe to be successful. You can become whatever you want. That we should recognise black current black heroes. I have learned black history I never knew. I've helped to help others dream big. Whatever situation you are in, there is change in your life. I've learned about success. I've learned how many things that we have today have taken a lot of effort. No matter who you are, you can achieve. I have learned about the black empowerment associated with Britain. Heritage is an impact on you today. I've learned how through hard work you can overcome societal barriers. To carry on and try and you can achieve anything. That Sam is a very proud man. I learned who this amazing man was and what he did. That we are legendary people. Sam King is very significant in history. I learned that finding out and discovering your family, the impact it can have on you in a positive way. Sam King was an example of what you can do about power, trust and sacrifice. I've learned to praise my history. I have learned that Sam King was a RAF engineer and that he has come over from Jamaica to fight the war. I have learned about Sam King and what he has done for Southwark and how he was able to become a mayor even when people doubted him. So that's just some of what some of the young children said, and how impactful it was for them. And as I said, we also showed it to older people. And some of the things they said about the film was, it showed me that our people are fantastic. It really made me feel positive and inspired. It made me feel proud and inspired, inspirational and motivational. Keep on, even when things are difficult. I've learned about the well-deserved recognition of a special man. The incredible lives and service to the community made by the Windrush generation. It has motivated me to find out more about my family and culture. The history of Sam King in a nutshell and his impact on London culture. It is possible to succeed if you have faith and determination. The importance of knowing our black history and talking about it. Sam King's life was a great achievement to black people, hidden figures. What his lasting achievement was for us. More understanding about our outstanding black heroes. Improve knowledge and respect for heritage. Don't let people or situations stop your ambition. This important film and the stories can have on the younger generation. Humbling, and it makes me question why I didn't know all this from school. This was beautiful and needs to be recurrent. To teach those taking part in Notting Hill Carnival about the history rather than unconsciously taking part for entertainment purposes. This production should be in all schools. So those are just some of the things that people said. And it kind of, as I started off by quoting Marcus Garvey, who said, a man without history is like a root without trees. And Flip Fraser, who said that to be culturally aware gives you pride and motivation. And I think some of those quotes from people who've seen the film just go on to prove that. And yes, this film needs to go further. Yes, many people need to see it. But it's really important for us to make more films as well about our hidden black heroes. So I'm sorry, I've gone on and on.
Why? No, it's all good stuff. I mean, it was great that I was part of your team to be to kind of add value to the documentary. I mean, I knew Sam King for many years. I also knew your late husband, Flip Fraser. I remember seeing Black Heroes in the Hall of Fame back in the day, and it was one of the best things that happened as Black British people and what we were doing. I suppose reflecting on all of that, what more do we think we need to do around the learning, the preservation of the Windrush story? What more do we, apart from your documentary and other things, what more should we be doing at a national level to make sure that we don't lose this history?
I think it's really important that we continue to document it. I've started a project of doing some oral history as well, where we're taking recordings of people from the generations. Because a lot of our history hasn't been recorded. It's about actually taking those recordings now that people are current so that we have that information. So I think it's really important to do that oral history. But as well as that, it's about actually getting the information out to the people. So yes, I've shown it in some schools, but it needs to go, as somebody said, it needs to go into every school in Britain. Everybody needs to know this history, not just black people. Everybody needs to understand our history and what we've contributed to society. So for me, a really key thing I'd like to achieve in the next 12 months is that every part of the country is touched by this film, and everybody knows about Windrush and its significance, because you speak to the average man in the street and they still don't have a clue. Yeah. We had our first Windrush Day on the 22nd of June this year, and if you speak to many people, they're like, Windrush, what's that? They have no idea about the significance and also the suffering that people are going through, as well as how much the Windrush generation has added to the culture of this country. So it's about dissemination of the film, and it's about making more films and recording more histories. And there's so much potential of things that we can do. But always my struggle is about resources.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that has been the thing that's held me back, is resources. We are voluntary. We're a totally voluntary organisation. We have no staff, no paid staff. We have three trustees, and we've had up to 20 volunteers working with us for various productions that we've done, and we really rely on our volunteers. Yeah. So the support we need is resources from the point of view of volunteers, anybody who's interested in supporting us, as well as financial support in order for us to carry on doing the work that we started.
Yeah.
And our really big main ambition is to get a show back on the road, edutainment, as Flip used to say, and that's how you really get people. To think that that show, so long ago, and people still remember it, it's so impactful because it engages all of our senses in telling those stories.
Yeah,
and that's where we need to get to.
I wanted to ask you, where can we see the documentary about Sam King?
So it's on YouTube. It's called The Story of Sam King. So if you Google The Story of Sam King, it will come up. Also, our website is www.blackheroesfoundation.org. And so you'll see all the other work we've been doing, as well as links to the film The Story of Sam King.
Okay, so Joyce, I do believe you have some people you would like to thank who helped you in putting this documentary together.
Absolutely. It wouldn't have happened without the support of many people. First of all, I want to thank Sam King's son, the Reverend Michael King, who really held the whole thing together, being interviewed. Also, his granddaughter, Dionne MacDonald. We had great contributions from Patrick Vernon, the Honourable Patrick Vernon, as well as Dawn Hill, who's the chair of the Black Cultural Archives. But I must give big thanks to Quince Garcia of Roadworks Media, because he is the director behind it all. And his dedication to the film is that he actually went on holiday to Jamaica and took footage of the King home. Aww. And that was out of his own pocket. So, and of course, the people who funded us is Southwark Council, funded the making of this film, and I have to give big thanks, because it's so hard, as I said, for us to get any resources. So thank you to everybody that was involved in the film, and I hope you all enjoy seeing it. Thank you.
It's a great documentary, and I think it should be in every school, and it should be reinforcing the importance of Windrush Day, but also there's other pioneers out there that we need to record their histories.
Absolutely. And when I took it to the schools, I asked them who they wanted us to record. And most of the people they know are actually black heroes, black American heroes. But I'm pleased to say that Mary Silcoyle came up in the list there.
Good.
So I see that as possibly being the next one that we do.
We look forward to seeing it. Thank you so much. That is Joyce Fraser from Black Heroes Foundation. Don't forget, you can see her documentary, The Story of Sam King, which is available now on YouTube. And also, please do check out www.blackheroesfoundation.org for all the fantastic work that Joyce and her team are doing. You have been listening to The Voices of Windrush with Sinai Flaherty, Patrick Vernon, and our special guest, Joyce Fraser.
Colourful
Sinai and Patrick on Colourful Radio.